today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta's new requirements for service animals is getting a lot of attention. We have a commentary from a flight attendant, and Uber's CEO says improve your rating by tipping more.
At 3:20 in our Smarter Travel segment, we introduce you to a new luxury car rental company in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Always wanted to drive a Lamborghini for a weekend? Well, we'll tell you how and how much.
On Friday, I made my annual trek to the New York Times Travel Show. It proclaims itself to be one of the largest shows in the world, and I roamed the floor finding some interesting interviews.
So starting at 3:35, Mark talks to Via Rail Canada, then an ecologically sensitive safari company in Africa, and finally a group that can find you an upscale hostel anywhere in the world.
The Africa interview, Tom, is particularly awesome. The lady who owns the company is a really exciting woman I think our listeners will enjoy meeting.
And about 3:50, we continue from the travel show with an update from the Florida Keys, a trip to Italy to learn about local food tours, and an introduction to a travel clothing company from Vermont.
We are pleased today to take you all over the planet without ever leaving your radio. Thank you for listening. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I got two tickets to Alaska.
To Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano are your hosts, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Boy, what a beautiful day, huh, Mark?
It is a nice day. It's nice to be back home in Sacramento after a week on the road.
Yeah, you took off, just kind of disappeared, and covered a lot of miles. Tell me where you've been.
Well, we take every year, Sports Leisure Vacations takes a group of folks to the Florida Keys. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, the hurricane last year made that a little bit problematic this year. Not really. I mean, they're still cleaning up a little bit of damage down there. But basically, Key West was really dodged the hurricane. So we had a nice group of folks. We went to Key Largo and then on down to Key West and spent four nights. And then I left them just a bit early to get up to New York City on Thursday night so that I could attend the press day of the New York Times Travel Show on Friday, because I think it's a great opportunity to just really get interviews with a great variety of different people in the travel industry. So I hope that's what we have for the second half of the show tonight.
Awesome. Was a good attendance while you were there?
It was. The media and industry day, which is when all the travel agents can come and mm-hmm. pick up all of their stuff, I was only there for about an hour and a half to get everything done that I needed to get done and get out of there. But it's a busy place, and it's one of the biggest travel shows on the planet. And for some people, it's important to be there, or if you've got a new product or you're going in a new direction or something like that. Plus, New York is an incredibly big market, so there's a lot of travel decisions being made there.
Now, for as you mentioned, there is a media day and a day specifically for people such as yourself that are in the travel industry.
Uh-huh.
And then there are days for just the general public to take a look at what's new in the travel world.
Yesterday and today, and they will have about 20,000 people who mm-hmm. will pay $15 or $20 a piece to get into this travel show and be able to learn all about things. It's interesting. Travel shows have changed. A lot more of the exhibits are interactive now, and it's not just walk around and pick up brochures. There's mm-hmm. a little bit more to that. So it was nice to talk to a lot of cool people, including somebody from the Florida Keys who will be one of our guests on the backside of the program. Sure was nice to get back to Key West. I've been taking people there for about a dozen years. And when you're a tour operator, as like myself, you take people to places like that, you develop kind of a list of friends. And there's a lot of folks down there who have become friends. And of course, many of them were impacted by the hurricane that came. So it was nice to go and kind of check on everybody and find out how everyone was doing and all that kind of jazz. So we'll talk a little bit more about that maybe perhaps later on in the program.
Well, we certainly will with your guest from the Florida Keys after the 45 break later on in the program. I have to say, Mark, you really have gone out of your way on this show. You had to fly out and get there on Friday to get all these interviews and then hustle back and put them all together. So, you know, a lot of our listeners, you know, would have no idea as to how much work you went through for the parts that are coming up in the last half of this show. And I'm just saying this because, you know, I had a chance to hear them all and do a little editing, and it's great material, and I'm looking forward to hearing it a second time.
No matter what your age is, I mean, we've got everything from hostels to flannel underwear from Vermont and all kinds of things in between. So that's the second half of the program. But the first half of the program, one of the things we do is hit the travel news.
And with the travel news, once again, Mark Hoffman.
If you looked at the Sacramento Bee today, you might have just, holy cow, freaked out if you looked at page A9, because it's a full-page ad, and it's headline, Catching a Flight? You Might Need a Real Idea. ID.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this, Tom, on our program here, about how the feds want everyone to have a driver's license that can't be easily copied. And they've come up with a program for that, and a lot of states are not in compliance, ours being one of them. They've given states a couple of extensions, and now they've said there will be no more extensions. Of course, that's what they said the first two times, but I'm sensing they're approaching it a little differently. They may be serious this time. So what this ad says is that starting October the 1st, 2020, you will need a real ID driver's license or ID card. You do not have that currently. Because if you've gotten a license from California, they didn't have that option to get that official card. So the DMV is offering the option to apply for a federally compliant real ID driver's license or ID card, and that's what this ad is about. If your license expires before the 1st of October 2020, I wouldn't worry about it, because when you go to get your renewal, you're going to get a brand new license and it's going to be compliant. If your license expires after October 1st, 2020, and you travel, at some point, you will have to get a replacement license in order to be able to get on an airplane.
I recently did a renewal back in late December for an early January, and at the time I asked, is there any chance that I could go ahead and get that, and they says no chance.
Yep.
January 22nd was when they started issuing where you can go down now and get your official ID. Keep in mind now, folks, that you gotta have either a passport or your birth certificate to be able to acquire that official
ID.
Yeah,
a visit to the DMV website would be very instrumental before you get into this, because as you mentioned, there are some things that you need to know. And again, if your license expires before the 1st of October 2020, you're going to get a compliant license when you renew. So this is really, that was the one thing that kind of wasn't clear in the ad here, so that we already had two people send us a note at travelguysradio.com asking about this, so I thought I would mention it right off the top since it was a full-page ad in the newspaper today. Here is kind of a neat story, Tom. Sandals Resort in 1991, a gentleman went with another couple to Sandals Resort, and they got there, they had no reservation. They got to the airport, the Sandals representative met them and said, you know, we don't have you on our list, so we can send you to another one of our properties. Even though the guy had a confirmation and everything, they went to the other property, didn't work out so well. They eventually got moved back to the original property. They weren't happy. They sent a letter to Sandals. Sandals sent them a certificate that said, please come back as our guest for a week for all four people sometime in the future. Of course, you still have to buy your plane ticket and all that kind of jazz. So it wasn't completely free. The guy loses the certificate. Fast forward 25 years.
I'd do that. Yeah.
He finds the certificate.
Okay.
He gets a hold of Sandals.
Mm-hmm.
Sandals says, yeah, the certificate, because the guy had gotten an exemption on their certificate originally, and he got it in writing that it never expired. Instead mm-hmm. of having to use it within a year, they said you can use it any time. He contacted Sandals because his daughter was getting married,
mm-hmm.
and he thought, gee, I've got the certificate. And the certificate said not transferable.
Mm.
25 years later, Sandals honored the certificate, allowed it to give him to give it to his daughter, and a couple people in the wedding party, and off they went to Jamaica. So
yeah, that's cool.
Isn't that kind of neat?
Yeah.
I mean, after 25 years. Airbnb has introduced a new pay-less option. You pay a deposit up front, and it lowers your overall booking amount. I suspect that what Airbnb is finding is what a lot of travel people know, and that is if somebody has skin in the game, the chances of them being in the game is much greater. So if somebody hasn't made a deposit, they may still cancel and before there's any penalty, and that you lose the opportunity to be able to book that property. So Airbnb now is going to give some discounts for folks who are willing to pay a deposit up front. If you're an Airbnb person, you'll want to look into that. The Uber CEO says you can improve your rating by tipping more. This is really kind of unusual because this is the new CEO who says you should tip more. I'm a very aggressive tipper now. I pick the highest tip every time. Somehow my rating is getting better. I'm not sure if it's aggressive tipping. Everybody tip aggressively. Well, that's fine for him to say. Except that most people don't tip their Uber driver because originally the whole thing was the driver was getting paid and you didn't need to tip. Mm-hmm. And then a competitor offered tipping, Lyft, and that became a problem for Uber because it was hard to keep drivers when they weren't being paid as much. This is what's kind of interesting about this, though. The CEO of Uber says you should tip more to improve your passenger rating. But it's interesting to note that the drivers for Uber don't know if you've tipped them until after they rate you as a passenger. So tipping them more or less has absolutely nothing to do with the rating. The CEO is just off running his mouth, which is what the last CEO from Uber did. Let's talk a little bit about this before we wrap up the news here. Delta last week announced last Saturday, that they were changing the rules, particularly if it involved emotional support animals. And there's been a lot of talk about this all week. Of course, here's one problem. If Delta changes their rules and American and United don't change theirs, you're going to see a lot more animals on the other aircraft. This is not about legitimate service animals. So people who have legitimate service animals have gotten kind of upset about this, but this is not about them. In fact, it's only about them to the extent that we want them to be able to get on the airplane with their legitimate service animal and not have a problem. A Delta flight attendant has written something that I'd like to take a couple minutes here and read to our listeners because I think it's from the point of view of a flight attendant who likes animals.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Amanda Plevy, and she writes on one of the popular travel websites. So she says, this was all done because an Atlanta man was attacked by a 50-pound emotional support dog on a plane. A man was in a window seat next to the dog and couldn't escape. It left him hospitalized with multiple lacerations across his face.
Wow.
So this is what the flight attendant has to say. We as flight attendants are supposed to write up animals who bark, growl, urinate, defecate, or otherwise impede the comfort and safety of other passengers. But when we do as flight attendants or other airline employees do, it seems that, depending on the circumstances, these complaints are ignored or downplayed. Such as when I'd watched multiple emotional support animals urinate all over the gate area just to be told by the airport supervisor that there was nothing we could do, despite there being a written rule that this was behavior sufficient enough to deny boarding to the animal. For owners of dogs who must travel with an animal, such as moving long distance, I get the quandary. Pets too large to fit in a carrier under the seat would otherwise have to go in the cargo hold, which is a dicey and not always humane choice. Between 2014 and 2016, 66 pet deaths occurred in cargo on U.S.-based airlines. But the alternative, turning Fido into phony therapy Fido via a quick online certification or a letter from your doctor friend, is not the fair option either, including for the pet. Frequently, I work long-haul flights with a large dog sadly smushed at the feet of his owner and in between two unrelated seatmates who are less than thrilled to have every last inch of their own legroom infringed upon by someone's massive dog. While at least this game plan allows the pet's well-being to be monitored by its owner the whole time, is having no room to move or walk around the cabin really fair to the animal? Should the animal supposedly providing comfort to the owner also be entitled to its own comfort? Few passengers seem to take this into consideration. Amanda, the flight attendant, continues. Of course, that's not to mention the other passengers. A scenario that plays out time and time again is this. A flight will board completely with at least one, often multiple, emotional support animals, and a passenger will get the attention of the crew to alert them of severe animal-based allergies. If we can't move the passenger with allergies to another seat, or doing so doesn't suffice to alleviate the situation, we would then deplane the person with the allergies instead of the phony emotional support animal. Animal incidents have been very steadily on the rise, even prior to the advent of emotional support animals. I've had to chase down escapee animals time and time again in the cabin when passengers refused to comply with our rule that animals must remain fully contained in a carrier. One cat even tried to claw its way into the container holding the inflatable slide raft on the door. I've also had a small dog who had been snuck out of his carrier while I was performing first aid on a passenger I'd sworn had died suddenly try to attack me as I was rushing more medical equipment to the distressed passenger. Many have ruined seat cushions because the owners refused to keep the animal off of an empty seat, which is a requirement set by most, if not all, airlines. You might have to sit on the pet where, on the seat where Fido's genitals were just at. Owners have often, that was my own comment, owners have often, but not always, been indignant and defiant when it comes to following rules set to protect fellow passengers and the animals themselves. And in fact, pet issues have caused more trouble than any other incidents in past years on my flights. It's time to say goodbye to the onboard zoo environments we've been fostering. It's long past time we concerned ourselves not so much with the comfort of people who care only about themselves, but the rest of us who want a comfortable, but most importantly, safe flight. Amanda P. Pleva, flight attendant for Delta Airlines.
There you go. And you heard it first right here on the Travel Guys.
That's it. All right. So we're going to talk about a brand new car rental company in San Francisco and Los Angeles where you can rent a Lamborghini for your birthday.
Well, we'll even tell you how much. That's next on the Travel Guys.
Come away with me in the night.
Welcome, everyone. It's the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We're on the radio every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. We talk about things that help make you a smarter traveler. Mark, tell us about our special guest this afternoon.
Well, popped up on our radar here, Black and White Car Rental, which is a California-based company. We've got Vince Morgado on the line. He is with Black and White Car Rental in San Francisco. Vince, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Glad to join you, gentlemen. Thank you for the invite.
Hey, Vince, tell us a little bit about Black and White Car Rental. What is it? Where can it be found?
Well, Black and White Car Rental is a luxury and exotic car company, started in L.A. about 25 years ago, and we've recently expanded up into San Francisco in March of last year. We tend to focus more on, as I said, high-end vehicles such as your Mercedes, your Porsche, but then into the real heavy hitters, Lamborghini, Ferrari, things of that nature.
Wow. So if I had the lifetime dream of driving a Lamborghini, I could rent one for you for a couple of days and drive it around.
That's exactly the point. That's exactly what we want from people. You know, we like to build stories and experiences. One-offs like that are a huge part of what we do.
Vince, the first thing that comes to mind when anybody rents a car is insurance and making sure that vehicle that we rent is either covered under either insurance that we buy from the rental company or our own insurance. How does this work when you're renting something as exotic as some of the automobiles that you're renting? Do you require folks to have to purchase a special insurance program on those kind of cars?
No, sir. We do work with a lot of people who own them in their daily lives, and it's more of a lifestyle choice for them. So we have, you know, in the past accepted personal insurances. So whether it's Chubb or whether it's AAA, even AAA or Geico, State Farm, as long as your insurance covers the vehicle, we'll take it. But we do offer coverage on all vehicles if in case you don't want that to show up on your statement.
Okay, so we got Black and White Car Rental, and you have exotic cars. You're in Los Angeles and San Francisco, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so give us an idea, because I'm sure there's somebody out there right now, and I'm curious myself. And obviously, prices can be seasonal and depend on demand and stuff like that. But give us some feel for what it costs to rent one of those really upscale. If somebody didn't own one and they were just kind of making a dream come true, what should they be prepared for?
Well, there's always, as you said, there's always flexibility in prices, but the real, you know, the heavy hitting exotic cars tend to hover around the $1,800 to $2,000 a day region. And then there's obviously additional services, like we can deliver cars to very, you know, distant locations. Napa's a very frequent thing that we do, Monterey, Santa Barbara, things like that. And obviously that's something that could be arranged. But really, if you were looking to do this, you'd be looking at something in the neighborhood of $2,500, $2,700 would probably run you for a single day. Just, I want to do this. I want to try it one time.
Tom, I'm thinking this would be a great gift from one travel guy to another. You know, I mean,
yeah, okay, you know, sure,
that you
Mark.
Could give me.
No,
you know,
I was thinking the other way around.
You gentlemen both car aficionados?
Well, not really, but you know, we might be for 24 hours. Vince, so give us. So that's top of the line. Give us some ideas. Is there something that is more affordable for somebody who wants, you know, maybe just a Mercedes or something like that?
Absolutely. I carry things from, you know, little C-class sedans up to, you know, the mid-level Porsches like a Boxster or a Cayman, up to into the 911s or even Jaguar F-Types are very popular right now. I'm a huge fan of that car. And that would run you more in the $550, $600 a day region.
Vince, do you find that people that may be thinking about purchasing a luxury automobile such as the ones that you rent that say, well, you know what, I think I'm going to go rent one of these from Black and White, and that way I can get a feel for it before I go out and purchase one?
Very much so. We do a lot of business in that way. I had a gentleman take out a 911 for 3 weeks just because he didn't like his Panamera and he wanted to try something a little smaller and a little more fun. A lot of times we'll get Mercedes test rentals, a lot of E-classes, things of that nature, or some of the SUVs. No, it's very common, and we're more than happy to apply for that as well.
Vince Morgado is with Black and White Car Rental in San Francisco and Los Angeles. If you have a dream or a fantasy about spending a couple of days or a week or a vacation or the rest of your life in a really upscale car, Vince can fix you up from top to bottom. Vince, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys. We will put a link to Black and White Car Rental if you're listening on travelguysradio.com, so you can go there and connect with Vince, and you'll be driving that Lamborghini. We'll see you on the streets of San Francisco in no time. Vince, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the time. It was so much fun.
You bet. Thank you, Vince. And Mark, I'll give you and Vince a couple of minutes here before we move on to the next portion of the show for you to arrange that that gift for my upcoming birthday, okay? And be sure that you you make it a convertible, all right?
You're that picky, huh? You're that picky. Hey, listen, I have a couple of tidbits from New York. Was only there a short time, so I just have tidbits.
Okay.
They have opened a thing called the NFL Experience in Times Square. It'll only cost you about $30 to visit it. I have invited them to come on the program and tell us a little bit about what they have to do. So maybe that'll be our Super Bowl interview for next weekend. And also, just a comment, I stayed in a Hilton Garden Inn a few blocks from Times Square. And if you're going to New York City and you're picking out a hotel, do your homework, because there are an awful lot of new shoebox hotels. I just stayed in one. They're very tiny. They go way up. There's maybe 10 rooms on a floor. We've talked about this before. Did I mention the rooms are very tiny?
They're tiny.
The
How
rooms
tiny?
Are tiny. And what you've come to expect from your Courtyard or your Hampton or your Hilton Garden Inn is not going to happen in a lot of these shoebox hotels. It's the atmosphere is a lot different. So I might just suggest to you, if you're going to New York City and you say, wow, this is a brand new hotel, do your homework, read the reviews, look at the hotel and stuff, so you'll find out exactly what you're getting into. Because if you're claustrophobic, you may have a little bit of a problem.
Well, was it clean?
It was clean.
Okay.
The people were nice.
And it was new.
It wasn't a problem. I didn't have to pay for it because I had enough points to, you know, I mean, it takes a wheelbarrow full of Hilton points to get about anything, but that's a whole nother issue for another day.
All right, off to the New York Times Travel Show with Mark. We got about a half a dozen really super interviews that we're going to squeeze in the next 30 minutes after we find out what's going on in the news. So stick around. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK 1530 and 93.1 FM. The Travel Guys with you here on KFBK. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and off to the New York Times Travel Show we go. Mark, let's see. You rounded up some great interviews. Where do we begin?
Well, we're going to start with Via Rail Canada. We talked to Ryan Rabuka last year about the Canadian train, which is the one from Toronto that comes all the way to the coast. Best sightseeing train in Canada. But Ryan told us and had some great information on a scenic train ride in Canada that many people have overlooked.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's not just a Canadian that I think people should be considering when coming to Canada to travel and see it by train. We've got a great train, and it's a pretty much unknown product between Jasper National Park and the North Pacific Coast in Prince Rupert. That's a two-day trip that passengers have a chance to enjoy while traveling with us. They travel during daylight hours only between Jasper and this little town in the middle of British Columbia called Prince George. Passengers will detrain there, spend the night in Prince George, get back on the next morning, and travel through the daylight again as they approach Prince Rupert and the North Pacific Coast. And that last day, as a train approaches Prince Rupert, I would say, hands down, by far, is the most scenic route that we have anywhere in the country. And if passengers are doing it in the summertime, they have a chance to experience the trip in a special dome car called the Panorama Dome Car. This car has floor-to-ceiling wraparound windows, so for the entire journey, you're sitting in this glass bubble watching the coastal mountains get closer and closer. One of the major rivers in British Columbia, known as the Skeena River, is basically right outside the train. You can touch it for about 80% of the day while you're approaching Prince Rupert.
Wow.
So that stunning kind of mix going from Rocky Mountains in Jasper National Park to the coastal mountains in Prince Rupert along the Skeena River and as you approach the Pacific Ocean is pretty stunning. And not only is it about the train, but the scenery, of course, in the region is very special. And Prince Rupert is a place that can't be overlooked. In the summer, you can go grizzly bear viewing in a grizzly bear sanctuary or humpback whale watching. So not only is a train trip quite the experience, but once you get off into the destination, it's pretty neat. So it's an unknown route that we have, but one that I would certainly recommend to anybody.
Mark, I understand that Sports Leisure Vacations is going to add this to their itinerary for a trip next year.
We are. I had no idea when I talked to Ryan that this is what he was going to say when I stuck the microphone in front of his face, but indeed, we are working on an itinerary that involves a ferry ride from Port Hardy and all of Vancouver Island and stuff. So if that sounds interesting to you, why a local travel company will be offering that itinerary next year. Let's go from Canada to Africa. I met a really interesting lady, Francisca Said Masaka. She owns Nature Safari. We would have said
Tanzania,
but mm-hmm. She pronounces her country a little bit differently than we do. She also mentions in her interview, she refers to an NGO. That's a non-governmental organization. It's basically nonprofits that help small companies in her country. So when she refers to that. Anyway, I asked Francisca why she came to this huge travel show in New York City and what makes her company different from other African safari companies.
Okay, I can say that Nature Responsible Safari Company is an eco and responsible safari company. We always try to support eco-friendly lodges and camps in Tanzania. Also, our packages offering clients to visit projects, to visit girls, to visit a different kind of NGOs who are supporting girls and women initiatives in Tanzania. So I think my company is a little bit different compared that I'm also a woman. And I feel good to have this company at this age. And I feel good to support other women and children.
And it's more travelers are putting more importance on socially responsible travel.
Yes.
And in Africa, we hear, here in the States, we hear lots of stories about socially irresponsible travel in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's wonderful that you're here and that you're up front. And how long has your company been, how did it start? How long has it been around?
Okay, I started it in 2012. It wasn't easy as a woman, as a mother of four children and a wife, you know. And in Tanzania, we have very few companies owned by women. But to me, I was like, I want to spend time with my family, and I also want to support women and girls. So there is another way I can do that rather than having my own company and employ myself. Now I have time for my children. Also, I have time to do social activities with women and girls.
And Francisca, you're here at the New York Times Travel Show. This is one of the biggest travel shows in the country. Dare I say it might be one of the most important travel shows on the planet. What made you decide to come here to talk about, to tell folks about your product?
Okay, when I started the company, I didn't know that I'll go this far.
Uh-huh.
In 2015, I was invited by the former president of America, Barack Obama, in a program called Young African Leaders as a Young Entrepreneur. So to me, I was like, let me go to America and see if I can sell also my product now. Not as I'm invited by anyone, but coming by myself and see if I can talk about my product.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because I believe even women here and men are going to be happy to see there's a woman in Africa who is running a company, who is supporting some local projects. I'm sure they're going to be amazing to find out there's this kind of people in Africa.
I believe that you are right. Welcome to the New York Times Travel Show. Thank you for taking a few minutes with me, and I really wish you the greatest of success.
And you have to come to Tanzania. You have to visit this beautiful country. Please. You have to come.
If you're just joining
Thank
us,
you.
You're welcome. Yeah, if you're just joining us, sorry, I didn't mean to step on her there. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We are, Mark just got back from the New York Times travel show that's going on as we speak, has some great interviews that we're sharing with you today on the show, Mark.
Francisca was really a cool lady. That she was the neatest person I met there.
I love her accent.
Her company is going to be around. She's a woman on a mission. I'm going to tell you something. She came with something. I have no doubt that by the end of the show, she will have made an impression on a lot of New Yorkers. All right, one more here before we go to the break. I spoke with Alice Ackerman, who is a lady from a company called Hostel World. I asked her to tell us about what sounds like a slightly upscale Hostel product that is now available all over the planet.
Yeah, so Hostel World, we have hostels all over the world. I don't know if you've ever stayed in a hostel before, but hostels...
It's been a few years.
Yeah, they're really great. Yeah, we have a lot of our demographic is 18 to 34-year-olds, a lot of young travellers on their gap years or out there meeting the world. 60% of our customers are actually female solo travellers. So, people are out there travelling by themselves, meeting people from all walks of life, and hostels really provide you with the opportunity to meet people. They have amazing social spaces, very different to hotels where you book and you stay in your room, but the communal areas are very much kind of, you know, you're by yourself eating your breakfast, and hostels really provide the kind of social environment where you can meet people from all walks of life. So we're here spreading the message and trying to bring hostels to America.
Hostels are range tremendously in price, in quality, in the rules and regulations under which they operate.
Yes,
is your company one that can help folks with sort through all of that?
Absolutely. Hostel World only have the modern hostels on our site, so we don't work with the kind of outdated perception types of hostels that you might think about. So all of our hostels are really like kind of like boutique-y hotels. They're beautiful, they're modern, amazing, you know, private rooms with en suites, great bars, great rooftop bars, pools, all of the amenities of a modern, beautiful hotel, but with the added experience of meeting travelers from all over the world, which you don't really get in other forms of accommodation.
Now, you folks find these hostels yourself, and do you rate them? How does your system work?
Yeah, we rate them, and actually all of the hostels on Hostel World are rated by customers, so by genuine travelers that stay in hostels booked via Hostel World. Will rate their stay based on, you know, comfort, style, location, affordability, the sociability, all of these things. So we collate all of those reviews, and then when you're booking a hostel on Hostel World, you can really see what you're getting and you know what other travellers think of their stay there.
Is there a charge for your services?
No. You just travellers will just book hostels via Hostel World and the way they do booking.com and stay in hostels as like a normal booking site.
So they can find you at hostels.com?
Hostelworld.com, yes, hostelworld.com.
Okay, and we will put a link to hostelworld.com at travelguysradio.com. So anybody listening to this can find you if you're a hostel person. And this looks like a wonderful idea.
Yes,
what a great way to be able to kind of separate the good from the bad.
Absolutely. It's all about the modern hostel. It's all about meeting people from all walks of life. and just, yeah, sharing experiences and going out there and having amazing adventures. What's not to love about that?
Alice, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Again, links to all of our interviews at TravelGuysRadio.com. We continue our trip around the New York Times Travel Show with Mark Hoffman and a visit with Andy Newman in the Florida Keys when we come back here on The Travel Guys. Remember now, you can find The Travel Guys at iHeartRadio or at KFBK.com. You can listen to podcasts from previous shows, but most importantly, if you happen to be traveling... You know?
Yeah.
Like we want you to do, but you don't want to miss the...
Travel show, after all.
The travel show. You can get it there. Yeah. All righty. Back to the New York Times
travel
fair.
Should we stop here and share the camel story? No, probably not. It wouldn't make any sense to anybody.
No, just
suffice to say that when the commercials are playing here, sometimes the conversation is unusual and different.
Well,
okay.
that was no fun for them.
No, it wasn't, but that's all right. Everything else is all about the listener here. Meanwhile, back at the radio program, we went down. I just came back from the Florida Keys. The Sports Leisure Group went down there. We had a great time and got an opportunity to connect with a lot of the people who are friends down there who have, some of whom had some really hard times. A gentleman who drives a trolley down there who takes our folks around town and Louie, who does just an amazing job. A trolley ride with Louie is like going to a stage show. I mean, it's amazing. But Louie and his wife still have no place to live. They're hoping to get a camper next week.
Really?
They completely lost
their home.
Well, the people who live down there, Big Pine Key, Summerlin Key, they really had a hard go of it. But in Key West per se, it was fine. And so we talked to Andy Newman. Andy does publicity for the Florida Keys, has done for a long, long, long time. And Andy says travelers should have no apprehension at all about coming to the Keys.
You know something, Mark? The Keys have been open for business since October 1st. Okay, there's this big misperception out in the marketplace that the Keys were devastated. Certainly there were some pockets and some areas of the Keys that were indeed devastated. I'm not going to hide that. But Key West was on the weak side of the storm, for example. Minimal impacts. Okay, you go into Key West today, but you know, we'll let your own tour group say this, okay? You look around Key West, what storm? You don't see any impacts because everything is gone. Other parts of the Keys are doing well and are recovering. Right now, we've got about 80% of our rooms back up and running throughout the entire Florida Keys, from Key Largo to Key West. In Key West, that number's up to 92%. So we're coming back. All of our attractions are open. All of our water sports are back operational. A couple of the areas, such as Alamorada, we still need a little more time to get our properties back up and running because they did take significant storm surge impacts. And some of the properties are actually also using the opportunity to do the renovations. So, you know, I believe we'll be close to 100% by the time mid-summer comes around. But still today, you can have a quality Florida Keys vacation.
And I was going to comment that as we drove down through the Keys, there's been a lot of cleanup. In fact, and I don't mean to minimize the damage, but some places look better than they looked before the hurricane.
I will only say this, okay? So I've been doing the Keys PR for like 37 years. I have a small place in Alamorada. And there's a lot of structures, homes and stuff that I've never seen before from the highway that I'm able to see now. A lot of folks have ocean views that didn't have them before.
Well, and God bless the folks further down around Big Pine Key and stuff like that who really took some of the folks who work in the Keys.
Exactly.
In some cases, they're the folks who are having the most trouble digging out. But what you're saying, Andy, is there's absolutely no reason that anybody should worry about making a vacation in the Keys.
The Florida Keys are open for business. Come on down.
That's good news, and I something tells me, and based on what you've seen and what Andy says, that he's in charge of marketing. This isn't just a marketing statement, but there's some truth.
Well, he lives there, and as we drove through the Keys, the upper Keys, they're still clearing away, and the middle Keys, they're still clearing away debris. There still are piles of debris, and you can see it. But as the comment I made there, the places where they have cleaned away the debris. And Andy made a reference to it about people having an ocean view who didn't have an ocean view because, you know, in a lot of cases, there was a lot of foliage or just things that were in the way. And when that stuff rearranged itself and you cleared away the debris, the landscape looks a little bit differently now. But the folks down there are people have still not come back, and that is kind of the problem. The cruise, you know, cruise ships are oftentimes a bane for a lot of destinations, but in this case, the cruise ships coming into Key West have made a huge difference because the regular tourists haven't come back yet, but the cruise ships have, and of course, those people can all go home and tell their friends that everything is fine in Key West.
The next interview, I think, is my favorite, not because my last name is Romano and I'm kind of partial to the the Italian kind of thing, but I love Alessandro Martini's accent and his enthusiasm for what he has to talk about.
The guy with Italian food tours. Now you have to picture, as you're listening to this interview, and he's Italian, so if you're Italian or you know anybody Italian, you know that they do a lot of talking with their hands.
A lot of waving of the arms.
This guy practically took up the whole auditorium as we were talking. He said, you know, what's not to like about food in Italy? So now we're going to meet a company. Alessandro's company doesn't just take you to great restaurants. They give you a complete culinary experience.
Hi to everyone, guys. What we say? We say go crazy or go home. First thing, happiness, enjoy. Open tours, family, and we are happy to show you the real Italian experience. What we do, we bring people inside Parmigiano Reggiano cheese factories, and they can see how the real Parmigiano Reggiano cheese is made on the real time. We're going to follow all of the steps in the production. We go inside the prosciutto factories. They can understand the difference between a real Italian authentic food product versus Italian products that have only the name, but the raw material is not Italian.
So what makes your tours a little bit different is you're actually going to take people to the places where the food products are made.
Yes.
So that they can learn a little bit more about how they're produced.
Right. And once that people are back at home, we have an online store in Florida, in Delray Beach, Alessandro Selection. And people, they can buy directly from us food products that they sow on the real time, made in Italy, and they can continue to eat well because we are what we eat.
So when you come home from one of your trips, you'll still be able to purchase the products you've learned about and that you've found and perhaps something that you liked over there.
Plus, we do truffle hunting experience. We're going to visit a truffle factory, and people, they can see how they can transform real truffle in truffle products. We go in the woods with a truffle hunter, his dog. We're going to see how it's difficult to find truffle, and after we're going to do, of course, an aperitivo in the woods with 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, 6 bottles of wine.
So these are day trip experiences?
Day trip experience. We do also more days, like 5 days. We are very open. In our website, that is italiandays.it, you can see only day tours, but we are also able to do packaging. We do small groups, we do private, we do large groups, so we're very open.
Alessandro, thank you very much. We will put a link at travelguysradio.com to Italian Days in Italy. That sounds like really fascinating, Alessandro. Everybody's got telling folks here how they can take them or how they can create a wonderful dining or culinary experience. But I like the idea that you're offering folks the opportunity to learn about the products also. That's
right.
Really outstanding.
It's an educational fun experience. You're going to have 1, 2, 3 more friends, and we're going to have a big family. I'm waiting for you in Italy, and I'm waiting to go crazy with you and with us. Thank you very much.
We're going to go crazy, my friend.
We're going to go crazy. We got one more stop on our tour of the New York Times Travel Show.
Okay.
This, I always look for somebody who's selling some kind of clothing item, something that's kind of special or unique or something like that. And this is what I decided on was the Vermont Flannel Company. They're not necessarily purely a travel wear company, but I thought it was interesting and they were really nice people. They were a small company among big boys at the New York Times Travel Show.
Well, it's a family business. It's with my husband and myself. The Vermont Flannel Company is actually the brainchild of my husband. We're a 26-year-old startup company. And basically, we're a made in Vermont, made in the USA product. We cut and sew and all of our products that we carry. And we've just stuck with the made in the USA work ethic, and it's worked out very well for us.
You're here at a travel show, which is kind of interesting.
Yes.
What products do you have here on the table that you would recommend for travelers?
Oh, golly. Well, it's not here on the table right now, but we have our flannel lounge pants, which are awesome for traveling. We have our Baja, which is very popular. It's like a pullover with pockets. We have our classic flannel shirts that come in like a fitted or more of like the lumberjack style. We have our flanyards. We have different flannel pocket tees and our bathrobes and our flannel baseball caps.
Is that something in a jar that I see on the table over there?
That's our flannel pocket tee, and that works out really well. And again, the t-shirt's made in the USA, and we put our flannel pocket tee for businesses who want to put their own corporate logo on it. We're able to do something like that for them, so it's branding for other companies can have as well.
You have a lot of really interesting products here. I think they're going to attract a lot of attention this weekend. Is this your first time at the New York Travel Show?
Yes, it is.
And so in Vermont, you have a retail store, or do folks find you online?
We have 5 retail stores in Vermont, and we do have an online e-commerce store as well. And at 3 out of our 5 retail stores, we do production, cutting and sewing. So sometimes you can actually see the work being done. In Johnson, Vermont, we work out of a barn. On the top floor is our cut and sew production. On the bottom floor is our retail. And we have production taking place at 2 other stores as well throughout Vermont.
Wow. Vermont Flannel. This is some really cool stuff. You can find a link to their website at travelguysradio.com. They have, and dare I say, there's even some slightly risque stuff for the ladies over there that I'm seeing.
We call it the Vong, V for Vermont. Sounds like thong, but it's the flannel Vong.
We got a little off the travel track there, but listen, this is important. Valentine's Day is coming up, so I went to the Vermont Flannel Company and to look for reviews about the Vong. It's a brand new product. There's only one. Luis, in the control room here, you need to be listening, because this is what this is what you need to get your wife for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
This is what the review says. I found that the results brought by the wearing of the Vong were extraordinary. I gave flannel, and by golly, I got love. Makes for great birthday or Christmas or Valentine or anniversary or honeymoon or wedding or half birthday gifts. Vermont's secret is no longer a secret. A sexy gift, if I say so myself. The fact that he found about 8 or 10 different times to do it, I'm going to suggest that you want to go get one of these.
Well, I'm from Washington State, and I'm from the 90s, so whenever we see flannel, we start thinking grunge.
I think this is a little different. Anyways, we got to get out of here, Thomas. Next week, we're going to ask people to call in and tell us about tipping their rideshare driver.
And we'll have Chris Elliott on. He's going to talk about credit card chargebacks, when you should and when you shouldn't.
Dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next week.